Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. You know, couldn't figure out where to start today, you know? So I figured I'd start with this. What do you think?
Can someone who's put his hand on the table?
Whoops, sorry.
The words on the front of this, you know, front of the program, right? First word's easy, isn't it? God. What about the next word? Maybe you know what the next word means? That's what we're going to try to find out today. Who else needs one? Corinne, like one? Claire, would you like one?
Okay.
Aaron, would you like one?
Okay.
Who else needs one?
One over here?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You can remember everybody's name.
Cross. Everybody get one? I have one left over.
I'll keep that one.
So what do you think this is a hard subject, a topic to talk about?
You know, if you were listening yesterday, you may have picked up some of the ideas and the thoughts behind what this is, but it's an important subject. It's also not an easy subject. As Brother Lee mentioned yesterday, it's probably one subject that most people don't have any idea what it means. But it is very, very important. And as we heard throughout a lot of the talks, for yesterday, God manifestation occurs in many, many ways. Now, we'll try to make this a little bit more of a Sunday school class rather than a Sunday school talk. So that means I'm going to need help, right? Because you can't have a class with one. We've got a lot of you here, so we'll call on some to read and we'll have some discussion and so on, okay? We'll see how this works out. You know, when we consider, you know, we all know there's lots of churches out there in the world, right? Now there's, you know, by various names. One of the things that most of churches feel, and most people feel outside of Christadelphia, is that the most important thing is to be saved. You hear people say, oh yeah, you need to be saved. I've been saved. Well, the question that we want to find out today, is that the most important thing in the Bible? Is that the great purpose of God? Is that what the Bible teaches, yes or no? Okay? Well, we'll see. You don't have to answer the question yet. Okay? So, when you look at our program, the title of this program on the front says God Manifestation. We're going to try to find out, try to learn why that's actually the most important thing talked about in the Bible. That's the great purpose of God. Or Yahweh, as Brother Lee and some of the brethren told us that's his name. Okay? So, it's a pretty big word, right? Does anybody not know what that means? I didn't know what it meant not too long ago. I grew up outside of Christadelphia in church, and I've been going to churches in the world, and no one ever told me about that word. I didn't know what it meant. So, to make sure we all know what it means, I went to a dictionary, a couple of dictionaries. So we need to get a definition of this word so we can talk about it. Yeah, that would work. Yeah, that would be helpful. But I don't want to end up walking in front of this thing. Okay. Look at that. So I went to a couple dictionaries. I said, okay, what does manifest mean? All right, so it says, you know, Brother Lee covered this a little bit yesterday, and I'm glad because we're consistent. Okay. To make evident or certain by showing or displaying, readily perceived by the senses. You know what the senses are? Eyes, you know, seeing, smelling, touching, hearing, speaking, those are senses, okay? By the senses, especially by sight. Evident, because the word evident is in there, right? We've got the word evident over there. Well, evidence clearly revealed to the mind or the senses or judgments. Okay, what does that mean? So what could we use as a definition of this word for our talk, for our class? We'll say, to manifest is to clearly reveal by showing. Okay? So we'll use those words. We'll sometimes substitute, instead of saying manifest, we may say clearly revealed by showing. And we'll see where we go with this, okay? Now, so to get a better understanding of this word, let's try to use it in some examples. And I'm going to ask you, see if you can come up with some examples. I'll start. So, let's see. Now, I'm going to give you a sentence. The first part of the sentence is going to have some kind of action. And the second part of the sentence is going to be like sort of a result. Okay? Well, let's use an example of a young girl going to school. Okay? And we'll say, using, remember, this word manifest, her paying attention in school, studying, and doing homework. She did something, right? She paid attention, she does the homework, and she studies. Manifested, or clearly revealed by showing, what she had accomplished through her good grades, her report card. Okay? So, she met her work, it's all her efforts and all her studying, manifested itself by getting in a good report card. We can clearly see her grades on the report card. Let's take a different example. Let's take now maybe a young boy or a high school boy. We'll get some high school kids down the end over there, okay? Let's see. Now, we'll use a sports, like a sport. Is practicing every day manifested itself in him making the team? Okay, so what's the action? He's practicing, whether it be, you pick a sport, whatever you like, it doesn't really matter. But the practice, and what did it result in? He made the team. So I can see that he made the team, and I know to make the team, he had to do something. He had to practice. So all his hard work manifested itself, or clearly revealed or showed, by him making the team. I'll do one more example, and then see if you can give me an example, all right? And we'll actually use a real live example, okay? Your sister Amy Hurst. All right, how's that? Okay, everybody know Amy? Okay. Now, when Amy was younger, I remember her folks got her a piano. And I think Sister Kitty may have even helped her learn the piano, possibly. Okay? But someone did. So, she practiced. And she practiced. So all her practice manifested itself, or it becomes clearly shown to us that she was able to play hymns at meeting. So if you go down to Goldthwaite and you see Sister Amy playing the piano for the hymns, all her hard work and practice at the piano manifested itself in her being able to show us and play by playing the hymns. So you see, there's some effort involved, and then there's some result. Okay, so something and then something else. Anybody want to take a stab at creating your own example? Anybody? No? That's not the easiest question. Maybe lean on the bigger guy, the older guy, the older kids. You know? I said the sports one already. But you get the idea? All right, so if you're doing something and then it results in something else, right? Now, we've heard a lot of talks, okay? How about, say, well, where are you really going with this? What about Jesus? Okay, now we don't, Brother Gary is going to talk about God manifestation in Jesus next talk. But, does Jesus, what do you see in Jesus? What did he do? He was obedient. He did the will of God. So therefore, when we see Jesus, when we read about him, we see God. Because he did the things of his Father. So, if you are obedient and do the things that your parents say, we get to see what your parents are, in a way, indirectly, through you. So you reflect what you've learned. Okay? Now, kids always play pretend games, right? You grow up, you're always pretending, whatever, this, that, and the other thing. So this would be like a little bit of pretending. Let's pretend two people, this is more than me for the room. But we're not going to pretend I'm Mike and Karen, okay? But let's just say two people walk in the room that we did not know them at all. And they just moved here from a place on the earth, doesn't matter where, but that place had no newspapers, had no cell phones, had no television, had no books, had no computers. And they said, we don't even know about God. Who's God? What's God? So let's pretend that two people, we can, whether it be, let's make it a boy and a girl. Who wants to name the girl? Let's give him a name. Katie, you want to give him a name? What should we name the girl? Because we'll talk to about them. We'll tell them. Anybody? Jenny, you want to give him a name? Casey? Rachel, you want to name the girl? What's the name of the girl's name?
Rebecca.
Rebecca. Okay, remember that, case I forget it. Who wants to name the boy? Jake?
Jake.
Who?
Jake.
Jake. Jake and Rebecca. Okay, not a problem. Okay. All right, so let's pretend that they came in now. Okay, Jake and Rebecca came in. Remember, they were living in a place where they had no knowledge, no books, nothing. Okay. What would we tell them, or how would we tell them, how could we tell them to learn about God? What would we do? Where would we go? Would we tell them to go to television and turn on the radio? That's really easy. There's lots of radio stations they talk, especially down south. We moved to Texas. There's lots of them down there, okay? Not so much up here. But we could tell them, right? Would that be the best place to go? No. Uh-huh. Anybody know where we should? Karen, where should they go? Do you know? What book would you go to? What book do you read? You know? If you think, I don't put any pressure on you. Yeah. What do you think? What's that book down over there? Claire? Aaron, did you say the Bible? Right, it would be the Bible, right? We wanted to go to the Bible, wouldn't we? Okay, that's a good answer, good start. Of course, you know, so we may give them a Bible, but what other help do we have? You know, if we wanted to, you know, right away, we needed to give them some answers about something. Well, maybe we can go to the instructor. In addition to the Bible. Anybody ever read the instructor? You see the instructor? Well, let's tell you what, let's start out and say, okay, there's a section under an instructor called Concerning God. There's a question that says, what does the Bible reveal concerning God? Holly, you want to read the answer? Hold on. We have help. Okay, yeah, we'll pass this around, okay? Don't go too close to make this loud. Is it on?
But there is only one God, the Father, and the Lord, even as the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the common idea of the God is the Trinity is incomplete.
Okay. So tell us that's why there's one God. So now remember, you got Rebecca and Jake. Now we're trying to tell them, remember, together as a group, we want to try to explain to them who's God. Okay. So we can start there. And then we can tell them, because we gave them a Bible, right? And they said, well, okay, that's great, but how do I know that? Well, we could tell them, okay, it's long now, get to Evan. And we can say, well, here, we give you some proofs. And from 1 Timothy, Evan, why don't you read the proofs? Help us to believe this.
There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ.
Keep going again.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. Blessed there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so now, you can hold on to that, Evan. We'll pass along as we need it, okay? So, we're saying we gave them a Bible, and we said, okay, we told them there's one God. And so here in Scripture, in the Bible, where we're told that. But what about God? They said, well, what is he like? Well, we can go to question number 14. We can hand this one to one of the older kids. This is a little longer one. So let's go to question 14, you know? Okay, we say, why don't you read the question and give us the answer?
What does the Bible reveal concerning the character of God? That he is kind, yet flexible in the requirements of his law, loving and compassionate, yet terrible as a destroying fire against the rebellious and guilty, forgiving towards offenses, yet jealous of the dignity, the glory, and the supremacy of his name. He is holy and cannot look upon sin. He is wise and cannot tolerate fools. He is true and faithful and will destroy all the false and perfidious and traitors. He is just and true and perfect, at once the fountain of love and vengeance, the author of life and death, the source of reviving mercy and consuming fire. He is eternal, unchangeable, unsearchable, infinite, glorious, in power and majesty, the king, immortal, the possessor of heaven and earth, to whom alone His glory did.
Wow. Does that tell you something about God? Does that clearly reveal or show you what he's like? We don't know. We know from yesterday that we know we're made in his image, the image of the Elohim, the image of God. So we have some conception, some idea of, you know, what the shape of God is. But this tells us about God, doesn't it? It tells about his character. So can we see that he's being described? He's revealing himself? Brother Matthew talked about, you know, God revealing himself or manifesting himself through his word. So we read this here. We got this from the Bible, and we're able to say, this is what he's like. Now, I could describe Katie, or maybe I can describe Holly, or Evan, or Ross, or Andrew, or Corinne, or Claire. I could say, oh, well, Corinne, she's about this tall, she's got blonde hair, she has a really nice smile, all right? I could start describing her, and you start seeing a picture of her, wouldn't you? So when we read this, we're getting kind of a picture of what God is like. So he is clearly revealing or showing himself to us through his word, through the Bible. And that's what we told Jake and Rebecca. We want you to go to the Bible. Okay? So let's see. But what if Jake and Rebecca turned around and said, okay, but how do we know? Oh. One other thing. There are lots of proofs. We could turn around and say, okay, where in the Bible? We won't read all these. There's a lot of them here. But we can say, well, how do you know that's the character of God? And we can tell them, go to Exodus and Revelation and Malachi and Hebrews and Psalms. And we would tell them to go there. So when someone talks about Bible things or things about God, we usually have some verses, right? When brethren get up here and talk, they'll always refer to something in the Bible, some verse. Well, why do we do that? Because that's where God tells us things. So we use that, right? Okay? So what if Jake and Rebecca say, okay, but where is the proof? Okay? Actually, I went to slide too soon. Let me back up. Okay? How do we know there's proof? How do we know? How does the Bible, how do we get proof to believe that the Bible is true? Well, we know that the Bible speaks of prophecy. We've had some of that, if you were listening yesterday. There was some mention about some prophecies. In prophecies, which, what are prophecies, by the way? Evan? A telling of the future. Good enough. Anybody else want to try? That's pretty much it. It's, you know, knowledge of something that will happen in the future. It's a prophecy. Yes, Rachel? That's right. Hold on to that answer. That's going to be the answer to another question, okay? Don't forget that one. She said, you know, the kingdom to come. Yeah, there's prophecies about that. Knowledge of something is going to happen in the future. Now, some things, some prophecies that we read in the Bible, they've already happened, haven't they? Okay? And that's one of the ways we can help prove the Bible. So, if we know their prophecies, and what are their prophecies about? Are there countries? There's prophecies about nations. I think we talked about Edom in the readings. There's prophecies about people. So things that are going to happen to nations and countries and people. Prophecies are about. So God uses prophecies to help prove the Bible is true to people. Because he realizes that before we need proof. We need, you know. So Back to you. Hold on to your answer for a moment. How about, can anybody tell me prophecies that had already have happened? Because we want to tell Jake and Rebecca, you know of any prophecies that were made, that we can read in the Bible, and we know that they've already happened? The destruction of Babylon. Okay. Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king of Babylon. Remember in Daniel, the image of the man with the head of gold? Remember that story? Well, that's Nebuchadnezzar. Anybody else? What was prophesied would happen to a woman named Mary? Oh, okay, well, let's pick what has the answer. All right, John. Okay, John. Well, she died, yeah. Okay, but what else Prof say? Katie? That she would have a baby. Right? That she would have a baby, and that baby was named? Jesus, okay? So that was prophesied. Did that happen? Yeah? Yeah? Yes, Kenny?
What year?
Well, the way it works is there's about 6,000 years, okay, from Adam and Eve in the beginning with Genesis to our day. And what happened is they were counting, and then they started recounting when Jesus was born. So if he was born, we're going to restart over. We're starting like at 0 or 1. And that was called the time before Christ and the time after Christ. That's popular people. So around the world, they pretty much talk about it that way. So like we talk about today is 2010. And it's commonly believed 2010 years after the birth of Christ. After the birth of Jesus. And so they'll talk about 600 years before the birth of Christ. So Jesus is like the zero point. All right? Okay, any others? Any other prophecies that were made that have been fulfilled, that have happened? Evan? Okay, actually, I should have given you the microphone. Let everybody get in there. I'm sorry. Give us the microphone. All right, so everybody can hear. You can.
Well, the prophecy of all the Jews returning to Israel is partially fulfilled. Because there's still some Jews scattered across the world.
Right. The Jewish people, right, surely, 7 years after Christ was born, they were removed from the land. And for a long time, they weren't there. But they're there today. Not all of them, as Evan pointed out. So there's a partial threat. It said that they would come back, and they did. Now, how about a prophecy that hasn't happened yet? The kingdom. Yes. All right. Anything else? What do we know? Jake? John the Baptist being born. That hasn't happened yet? That did happen. Right? That's on the happen side. Okay. But what do we look to the future for? She mentioned the kingdom. Jesus returning. Yeah. Well, the resurrection and the judgment. Yeah. So these things are ways for us to be able to get proof that the Bible does tell the truth. Okay. Now, we talked about the Bible speaking of nations and people. Is there one specific nation? She mentioned it already. Anybody?
Yeah.
Israel. Israel's a special nation, isn't it? Okay. What does God say about the people of Israel? Okay, we'll read it here. Who's got the microphone? Jake, you want to read it again? This is what God says about the Jewish people.
Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. And for me there is no God, neither shall there be after me.
Okay. So these are special people. They're God's people. Okay, and they, come from Abraham, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on. David is Jewish. Jesus is Jewish. They're special people. God chose us himself through the nation of Israel, which we had talking about yesterday, through Hitler. Okay? So we see that these, more prophecies about people, we see the existence of them, the fact that Israel exists today is proof of the Bible, because they didn't exist for 2,000 years. And I don't believe this ever happened ever in the history of man, that a nation has come back after 2,000 years to have that same identity that they had previously. So, you think God is revealing himself, clearly showing himself through the nation of Israel, the Jews? Does that make sense? Can you? Yeah, I think so. Okay. Now, all that has happened to Israel, we see that God's ways are clearly being revealed and being shown. We know that. So what God says and does represent who he is and what he stands for? Is that true of us? You know, don't we, you know, when our actions, our thoughts, our words, and what we do, that represents who we are, doesn't it? So we have to understand who we are, what we say. That's how people see us, okay? Now, Jake and Rebecca raise their hand and say, okay, remember, you still to Jake, okay? All right, so said, okay, well, why does God need to be manifested? You know, why can't we just go to his house and talk to him? You know, why, like the principal at school, that, you know, that she wants to talk, she just calls you into her office or his office, right? So why? Why doesn't he just manifest it? Let's see if we can find out the answer. So I think the Apostle Paul tells us. Okay, who wants to pass the microphone? Go this way, hand on this way. Who down here would like to read? Have a reader? Okay.
It says, speaking of God, they may have immortality dwelling in a light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
Okay. So, it says there, dwelling in a light which no man can approach unto. That's why you need to be manifest. We can't go there. We told Rebecca and Jake, that's of course. We can't be in the presence of God. Okay? But the question is, why? Doesn't know your why? Why can't we be in the presence of God? I need another reader. Evan? Okay, here you go. Let's read from Exodus. It tells us here, and this was actually one of the talks yesterday. So why don't you read that?
The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom the Lord will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live.
So, in the previous slide, it said, dwelling the light which no man can approach unto, because you'll die. You will not live if you've seen him. Kenny?
It just said, we could do. So, what kind of cloud that God is on?
What kind of what?
A cloud.
Is it a cloud? Well, God is in heaven. I'm not sure if it's a cloud or not. Okay, but he's there. We know the Bible tells us God's everywhere, right? And last night we learned about God's angels, right? We know there are angels all around doing God's work. Okay, so they're all around, and hopefully they're here in this room. We can't see them. Can we see God? No, we can't see God because he is in light unapproachable. That's sort of like what you're thinking in your mind, like a cloud. It's a place where we can't go to. Right now, okay? But we hope, at the end of 1,000 years, maybe we'll find all that place out. But for now, we can't see him. And it says, because if we saw God, we would die. Because God is perfect. God is so superior to us. He's kind of, lack of a better word, he condescends. He basically gives us a way to be able to see him through Jesus. Through his word, through the prophecies. So we just can't go like we go to the principal's office and talk to the principal. You know, we would die. And here with Moses is a pretty great man, wasn't he? God was pleased with Moses, you know, and yet he couldn't let Moses see. So he would die. So this is an important thing for us to know. That's why God shows or reveals himself. Well, manifests himself through people, prophecies, and so on. So, Jake and Rebecca go along, and they start opening their Bible. Okay? And they come back, and in a short while they come back to us. And they say, we have some verses that we read. We started reading in Genesis. And we saw these verses. Let's pass this down to James. Okay? And then we can share this a little bit if you want, okay? How about the first verse, Jane?
And the Lord came forth man, and formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Okay, who wants to read another verse? You want to read verse again?
The second one, yes.
Here you go.
And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name of God.
Very good. I got another volunteer reader. Who has read? You read? Okay, don't you read? Okay.
And the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead.
Okay, one more verse. Okay, we'll go down this way.
And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her into the man.
Okay. So Jake and Rebecca came over to us and said, you know, we read these verses and we found that God created everything. Remember, they walked into the room and they didn't know a God existed. So we're trying to help them understand and know that there is a God. So now they said, we read these, it sounds like God created everything. And they turned around and they said, what's that question that kids, that word the kids always use when you talk to them? Why? Why did God create us? Okay? So, let's see here. Turn my page. We can turn around and say, well, I think, I'll tell you what, before we answer that question, I want to introduce some body, something to you, okay? This is Mocha, okay? Claire, see Mocha? Okay? This is our neighbor's dog, who just happened to, one morning, show up at our house. And Mocha's a puppy. She's actually a Catahoula. I never heard of that dog before. Yeah, that's just the name of the dog, okay? Anyway, so Mocha came along, and she just plopped like a seed right out of the house. Now, let me ask you a question. Does anyone have a pet dog? Oh, we got a bunch. Okay, so maybe I can get some answers here, okay? Why do you have a pet, Jenna? No? Katie? Rachel? Why do you have a pet? Okay, because you have to take care of it. I keep it in with the microphone. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Why do you have a dog? To take care of it? Okay.
To have something that you can play with.
Yeah, because when you play with, when that, you know, you are basically... Well, no. Does it make you feel good?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Do you play with your dog? Okay. Yeah, all right. Okay. Now, do you try to teach your dogs things?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Okay. Do you ever punish the dog if it doesn't do what it's told?
No.
No, you don't?
No.
Some say yes, some say no. Okay, fair enough. Okay. Let's see what the questions I have here. Does anybody give it a treat when the dog does well?
Yeah.
Yeah. And why do you do that? To reward it? Yeah. Jenna? Yeah, okay. Learn something new? Okay. Let's see. Now, do you teach the dog to obey you? Okay. Do you expect it to come to you when you call it? Yeah, okay. Now, how do you feel? See, that way, you're here. Has anybody got the dog with them? No, okay, they're home. When you go home, and you turn around, and you come into the house, and the dog sees you, comes running after you, tail wagging, jumping up and down, maybe licks your face. That's a few. That dog just loves you, right? Just wants to be with you, right? That's a really, really good feeling. The dog is clearly showing its love for you, right? Okay. Now, there's another lesson involved here. Mocha is a puppy. You know, she's got really big paws. She's a really big dog. And there was another dog with Mocha. The dog was Rex. Now, Rex was a blue heeler, a little bit bigger dog. But Rex didn't come near me. Rex stayed about 40, 50 feet away. But Rex kept watching Mocha. What was going to happen to Mocha? And finally, Rex turned around and started walking down our driveway. And I said, okay, Rex wants Mocha to go home. Mocha wasn't going home. So I got up and I started walking and Mocha started following me and Rex kept looking backward and kept walking. Finally, Rex got down the street and kept turning around and I got to the end of the driveway and Mocha just stood there. But the lesson here, the point is, Rex was the older dog, was watching out for the younger dog. There's a lesson in that for us. Okay? Whether it be an older brother to a younger sister or a younger brother, whether it be an adult for another person, but we are to watch out for each other and help each other. That's just a little bit side lesson, but it was something worth bringing out. Okay? Okay, so, now we, one more question now, before I move on to the next point. All your hard work, you teach the dog how to do things. And I come to your house, and you turn and you tell your dog, sit, and the dog sits. All your hard work, when I see that dog sit down, I can see, it's clearly revealed to me, or shown to me, that you have been working with your dog. So, all your work is manifested in the dog's behavior. So I can see that Katie and Jenna, you've been working with your dogs. And I can see how well behaved they are. I said that the dogs I know, they don't just do it by themselves. And neither do we, do we? We have to learn too, don't we? How to behave. Okay, so now let's, Let's see, where were we here? I left off by saying, we talk about why did God create us? Okay, they wanted to know why. Well, we know why now you have a dog, don't we? To play with and so on. So let's read. Who's got the, okay, we'll let Rachel read. Take a verse and we'll share it around. Take the first one.
And he made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to which he was the problem which he had proposed in himself.
Okay, let's read the, another one. We'll go down this way. This text on that.
I know also, my God, that thou hast the high and hast pleasure in all thy grace. And the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, who will be deprived of me for salvation. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are in your creation.
Okay. Why did God create people? Why did he create us? Kenny?
Out of clay.
Out of clay. That's what he created us out of. That's correct. Why did he create us? What's it say right there? In the last verse. Rachel?
Because he wanted some people to
Anybody else? Evan?
Well, like it says in the last verse, for the pleasure they are and were created, they were for the pleasure of God to watch over and teach them his word.
So, God created people for his pleasure. Why do you have a dog? Jake, you said to play with. And when you play, you get pleasure. You teach your dog. You're happy when the dog comes to you, right? So the Bible is clearly, God is revealing to us why he has created people. Remember, Jake and Rebecca asked, why did God create it? I read in Genesis, because for his pleasure. Okay? So, Let's see where we get into next. Okay. We've got some more verses to read.
Let's see here. How does God get pleasure? How do we give God pleasure? How does your dog give you pleasure? You're pleased when the dog plays with you and, well, obeys you. Right. So we're happy when the dog does what we tell him to, right? Okay. So let's just read some of the and we do this, you know, we show to God, you know, when we do the right things through prayer and obedience, listening to our parents, you know, following the commandments of Christ and so on, right? All the right things. Because just like your dog, you tell your dog things, right? All right, so now, just read more verses about stuff like that. Yeah, James, don't you read some?
That the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear of him and those that hope in his mercy.
Yeah, turn it down that way, yeah.
Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God and your fathers and do his pleasure. Bless you, the Lord, all you associates, the ministers of his that do his pleasure.
Just let's take a rest of
to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and all thy mind. And finally, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Okay, so we learn from these verses, you know, God may created us for his own pleasure, and it pleases him when we do the right things. Okay? Now also, Jesus, what did Jesus say to his apostles, you know? He showed them that through the washing of their feet, to serve one another, help one another. Well, here's Mulker again. Okay? But now Mulker is not exactly the same position he was before. Or she. I'm not sure if it's he or she. Okay. Anyway, what happened was, as many of the brethren here know, they asked me, how's living in Texas? What's my biggest problem? They got these stickers. Okay, like inundated with these little needle things. But what happened to Mocha all of a sudden started limping and crying, came to me. She had stickers in her paws. Okay? And it hurt her. So she went down on her side and she let me help her. She allowed me to pull the stickers out of her paw and she licked my hand. Okay? So, it's a little lesson in that, right? Is God and Jesus pleased when we help each other? Yeah, he wants us to help each other. We shouldn't be too proud to ask for help. And we should be willing to help each other and be loving to one another as nice as we possibly can be. So, how do we, okay, ask for help? If you want help from God, how do you do it? You can't call him off the telephone. Anybody? You pray. Okay. So prayer is a necessary and powerful means. It's the way in which we are told that we can address Yahweh, address God. Okay? And we must learn to use it every day. He wants us to be like Mocha and to ask for help. Where when we're hurt, we need help. He wants us to help one another. Okay? And when we do that, do we see God's way through you? When you do things that are right? I can see you being nice and helping and trying to follow what God says. Yeah, we see the ways of God in you and in me and everybody else when we do it. So the ways of God are being manifested or clearly shown in how you talk and what you say. And the kids at school see it, your teachers see it, the people in the store see it. Okay? Now, who wants to read that one? Who's got the mic? Okay, let's read that. This verse came up yesterday also, didn't it?
Speaking of Jesus, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on
on in the world, received up into glory.
So Jesus, we're told here, manifested the ways of God again. So when we read about Jesus, we understand and see the Father. We see God in whatever thing that Jesus did. Now what happens if you don't do the commandments of God? Okay? Well, do you remember the parable of the talents? Okay, we had the one had 10 talents, and had 5 talents, and one had 1 talent. So what happened to the man there with the 1 talent?
He put his talent on the ground and didn't try to get more talents or use his talent at all.
Right. So the lesson there is that if you don't take what you're capable of doing and use it to the best of your ability, you're not going to be accepted. You won't be accepted. So we have to always work towards that. And then there was, what about the parable of the vineyard? When the man came, he planted a vineyard. Now, why did he plant the vineyard? Same reason why you got a dog. Okay?
To get the grapes and the wine for food.
Absolutely. He wanted to get the grapes. But what if weeds grow? Does he want the weeds? No. He wants the good fruit. And we would like to, you know, to be the good fruit. Now there's many people in the Bible, and I have no idea what time it is, okay? Many people in the Bible, I guess I'm running over here, that manifested God in their ways. We know there was Joseph, there was David, Jesus, so many of them, okay? Okay, so let's see. Now we talked about we do his commandments, we get the things that we need in life to get a place in the kingdom of God. If we don't do them, we're going to be turned away. Okay? But how can we, we're all sinners, right? Paul tells us in Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? So we have opportunity though through Jesus. A brother once told me, and I'm sure those in the audience and the brothers and sisters heard this before, that we're like the moon. Okay? And now, where does the moon get its light? Does the moon generate its own light? No, it doesn't. Okay? Where does the moon get its light? From the sun. Now, this point here, how much of the sun, how much of the moon do you see? You see part of it, right?
The question.
Yes. Okay, the question moon. Okay. So you can see at different times of the month, we get to see more of the moon, and other times less of the moon. At this time, this is the full moon. When the fullness of it, we see all the very bright moon. We see the sun, don't we? And it's sort of like, so the brother was telling me that we're sort of like that. Sometimes, when we're doing everything we're supposed to, we reflect Jesus' ways, God's ways, fully. Sometimes we only do it partly because sometimes we fail. Now there's one moon you don't see on here. The new moon. Because there's no reflection of that. We try not to want to be like the new moon. We always want to try to reflect the sun. It's kind of an interesting word because Jesus is the Son of God and we want to reflect him. Sometimes we want to aim to be like that so people can see the sun all the time through us. Okay. So, but God does know that we will fail from time to time, okay? And when we do fail, we should always remember that Jesus will, and God will accept us, okay, if we're repentant. We have the parable of the lost sheep that reminds us of that. The one sheep that goes astray and comes back when the owner finds them and says, okay, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99. It's pleasurable to the shepherd, I should say here, when they find that one who is turned away. It tells us it's pleasurable to God when we come back if we fail, and we're repentant, we're sorry. Okay? Okay, come to the end. All right, our class. And if you want God to be manifested in you, ultimately, okay, What has to happen? You have to be educated, you have to learn the Bible, learn the truth, and then you have to be baptized. That's the first act of obedience. And you know, being obedient pleases God, even as it pleases your parents when you're obedient to them. You know, we said, it says here, that Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. You know, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the things on the name of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel, they were baptized. So that will please God when we voluntarily, on our own free will, accept Him through baptism. Okay, so it's now time for Jacob and Rebecca to go home. And I guess it's time for us to close our class. And we'll do this with the following words, and we'll let Evan read them for us. Okay? And this is Psalm 119, and these are very important words. See if you can make a note to remember them. Get Evan.
Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplications come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise, and thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight.
So, let's try to remember this. Remember that God is listening, will listen to us, will help us. Let God, let people see God through you, through what you say, what you do, what you think. That's all we all try to do. It's all about the most important thing. The great purpose of God is God manifestation. To show that God can show himself to the world. Okay? Thanks for your attention. Sorry it took so long. I had no clue how long it was going to be. But, if you got something out of this, then it was worthwhile. Okay? Thanks, everybody.